Hallelujah. Thank you, Lynn. Oh, shout amen, somebody. Glory to God. Come on, let's give the Lord praise and thanksgiving tonight. Oh, hallelujah. Father, we bless you. We bless you tonight. We honor you tonight. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Glory, 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 glory. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. The Spirit of the Lord has planned to take care of every situation in every life that has obeyed him and come to this meeting. His plan is in place. Every miracle that it takes has been set aside. And for those, and those of you that are attending by internet, those of you that are watching on the God Channel, those of you that will be receiving this on DVDs and however else you are receiving it, listen to me. For those who will apply their faith an uncompromising commitment to obey the voice of His Word. Walk in love, walk in faith. Everything's gonna be all right. Hallelujah! I heard it. I heard it. Know it. I know from what the Lord has dealt with me up until this time, preparing Glory and me for this year, preparing us for this meeting. There is beginning its beginning takes place during this meeting. A new level of assignment, authority, direction, and anointing for this ministry. Just as certain as I stepped out here on this platform tonight, it started. It's another level. And I'm glad. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. The same is true for many, many of you. All of you, if you'll take it by faith. But there are those like Glory and me in this meeting. There are those that this moment in time was a divine moment. A divinely appointed time
for God to meet you in this place, at this moment, at this time. Hallelujah. Praise God. Oh, hallelujah. Well, rejoice about it. Turn around and shake hands with two or three, four people. Oh, give the Lord a praise as you hug somebody's neck. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Glory, 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 glory. Thank you. Amen. I'm excited about this meeting. It holds a very special place in the plan of God. There are times when you come up to a place where at that moment, God just turns everything up a notch. And that time is now. It is time for your words to become more powerful than they have ever been in all of your life. We're going to learn a lot about that in the next few days. And you're going to learn a lot about it over the next year to 18 months. More than you've ever even dreamed was possible. This is a special time. Thank you, Lord. And Father, we just praise you and we bless you and thank you for this special time. And no better place for it to happen than right here, praise God, in this great and powerful church. Amen. Keith and Phyllis Moore. There are some places you can just go maybe have a meeting. I remember when we first started in this ministry, our meetings were 3 weeks long, most of them. And some of them should have been longer than that. In order to have a 3-day meeting, it took 21 days having 2 or 3 services a day to ever get to a place where you could have a 2 or 3 day meeting when everybody's believing God. Because everybody drug their religion in there with them. And it just took that long for faith to build to a point where the latter part of the meeting would be very, very powerful. But we were just learning. My goodness, there was so much. And all of that over the years. Think about that. We started in this ministry 45 years ago, last January. And think about what has taken place over the last 45 years. This don't even look like the same place anymore. That's because it isn't. And one of the things that God has specialized in Keith and Phyllis Moore and taught them and trained them over the last 30 years is how to follow the Spirit of God and create an atmosphere where believers can come and have a meeting. That's part of their calling. And when you, that's part of the calling of this church. And now the church down in Sarasota. Praise God. Under their direction and command. And I heard him say this to me some years ago. He said, we are preparing the place for you to come. And he said, we'll work on it all year. Well, that's wonderful. My, my. I've been in places where they worked all year trying to keep me from having a meeting. And they liked to got it done. If it hadn't been for the overthrowing power of the Word of God, some of them would have got it done. Amen. Hallelujah. Not here. And I bring this out especially so that you can add that to your faith. You're in the right place at the right time. And great, mighty, and wonderful things will be brought into our lives and brought out into the light of God's Word, where we can not only see it, but activate it in our lives. Hallelujah. And you'll be glad you'll be glad you're part of it. Amen. I'm telling you, you'll be glad you're part of it. Now, this generation of people, the time in which you and I live, we are living in the most important time in God's schedule and what He has planned. You and I are living in the most important moment of time since the day of Pentecost. 2,000 years of planning, preparing, teaching, training, preaching, miracles. 2,000 years of heaven going towards one specific event, which is the catching away of the body of Christ and glorifying His people. And we're in it. Thank God for that early church. Thank God for all of the great things that God has done over all of this whole period of time. But all glory to God. We got to get in on it right here at the... We get in on it. This is the blowout. You understand? Amen. And I'll give you a little bit of a preview here. Everything that Satan has accumulated in the way of property, wealth, influence, anything in this entire planet that he has his hands on and under his control, he stole it. Now, up until the ministry of Jesus on the earth, from the time Adam committed treason before God, from that time until Jesus came into the earth, there were things that Satan did and accumulated. He did not have to steal because it had been put into his hands. And what he did and what he had, he got from Adam. Adam gave it to him. Don't you remember when Satan said to Jesus, look at all of the kingdoms of this world. Bow down before me. I will give them to you. They have been given to me, and I give it to whomsoever I will. Oh, yeah, Brother Copeland, but you know, he's a liar. He didn't... Now, wait a minute. Had that not been so, it would have not been a temptation. Huh? But Jesus got it back. He took from him everything that he had taken from Adam. He took it back. The largest, most significant transfer of property, goods, wealth, and people from the hands of the devil into the hands of God's people that are prepared to receive it. I'm telling you, the biggest transfer of property in the history of mankind has just begun, and it's swinging into its... It has moved over into its final stage, saith the Lord. And those that will listen to me and follow me and trust me, those that I have taught my word and have given the authority to walk in these things, oh, it is the most outstanding thing that human eyes have ever seen. And the time is now. Your time has come. Your hour has come. So rise and do those things by faith that you know to do. And all that belongs to heaven will come into your hands for your joy, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. Come on, give the Lord praise. I tell you, this is good. This is a good time. Open your Bibles with me to the book of Matthew, please. We'll receive our evening offering. And I am thrilled to report that the budget is met. Hallelujah. Yeah, it's already met. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. A bunch of folks got up and got all stirred up and got ahead of us. Praise God. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Well, why are you going to receive offerings, Brother Cole? Hey, just because the bills are paid, you don't. People that think like that don't know what offerings are. In the eyes of the world, and I'm sad to say, in the eyes of most Christians, millions and millions and millions and millions and millions of them, do not see any reason to get a large group of people together except to get money from them. Otherwise, why get them together? Now, that's the purpose in large crowds. That's the reason they build big stadiums. The more they can get in there, the more they get off of them. And that's the reason the world doesn't understand our coming together. And like I said, I'm sad to say that most Christians look at it the same way. And it causes a distrust in ministries and in pastors and so forth, because they still look at it that way. But that's not our purpose. That's not our purpose in receiving offerings. Amen. I'm not here to get money from you. Now, this may shock some of you because I'd say this from the pulpit, but I have money. I don't need to get it from you. And there's more coming. And I'm glad. Amen. Well, then why receive the offering? Because that's why I have money. I learned to live from my giving. And my living got bigger than my giving. Amen. I don't look to you to meet my needs. You're not my source. The offering time in a meeting. You need to study. You need to go through the whole Bible and look how many times God commanded for people to give an offering. Why would he do that? Connection. Connection. The tithe is the blessing, anointing, connection. You bring what's mine to the storehouse, and I'll bring what's yours, and I'll meet you there. Now, that's what God said. And I'll pour you out blessing that you ain't got room enough to contain it. So see, that's always been his motive. That's always been his idea. Satan separated us. And God is saying, would you let me into your business? I'm better at this than you are. I'll show you how to do this. But he'll never force himself on you. If God was ever just going to force himself on anybody, he'd just make everybody get saved and this thing would be over in the morning. Well, why isn't he going to do that? Because there wouldn't be an ounce of faith in it, and it would absolutely destroy and collapse everything that he ever planned to do. So it's always his call not to get something from you, but to get something to you. And that's what offerings are about. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Father, we pray over this offering tonight, and we thank you for it. Open the eyes, please, sir, of our understanding as we go into the Word and we hear from your words, Lord Jesus. Revelation from heaven. We receive it. In Jesus' name, amen. Look with me in Matthew chapter 11. Matthew 11, verse 27. Now, this is Jesus speaking. All things. How many things?
All.
All what?
Things.
Things. We're talking about things here. Everything. All things, which includes material thing. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knows the Son but the Father, neither knows any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal. come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll absolutely work the life out of you. I'll burn you out. You'll get no rest from me because the time is short. Now, there's a lot of people you'd think that's what he said. And most preachers, he'd get them and say, well, just give them just a little, just a slight opportunity to talk about how rough it is. Oh, how terrible it is. Oh, just suffering for God, for Jesus. Driving a 39 Volkswagen, if there is such a thing. I think it's built in about 1939, 40, somewhere along in there. Now, if you like 39 Volkswagens, get you one. And a spare, if that's what you want. But don't do it because you think you get points with God for it. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Now, he's not going to fit you with it. You're going to have to take it. Take my yoke upon you. Look at this. And learn of me. Learn this about me. I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now that, Jesus said that. He said that. If you'll put that in your mouth and learn this of him, you'll start having more fun in this life. And people come in and start talking about how hard and oh my, we're just trudging through the heat and the cold, but at the end of the journey, there's God. You could have had God at the beginning of the journey. Amen. This should be a profile and picture of you and me. I want to read this to you. This has really impacted my life. This is from the Message translation. Those same verses there now. This is 27 through 30. Jesus resumed talking to the people, but now tenderly. The Father has given me all things to do and say. This is a unique Father-Son operation. Coming out of Father and Son intimacies and knowledge. No one knows the Son the way the Father does, nor the Father the way the Son does. Now, can you see what he was saying? Learn this of me. That's what he's wanting us to learn. Let me go back and read that again. This is a unique Father-Son operation coming out of Father and Son intimacies and knowledge. No one knows the Son the way the Father does, nor the Father the way the Son does. But I'm not keeping it to myself. I'm ready to go over it line by line with anyone who will listen. Anyone that'll listen can learn from Jesus how to have the same intimacy with the Father that he has. That's good stuff. Now listen, this is what is so good about it. I'm ready to go over it line by line with anyone who will listen. Are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me, get away with me, and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me, work with me. Now listen to this. Watch how I do it. Well, how do you walk with him? In the Word. Watch him. Particularly in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Watch him. See how he does it. Walk with me. Work with me. Watch how I do it. Now listen to this. It wouldn't hurt you to write this phrase down. It is just magnificent. This is what the literal text translated into English. This is literally what it said. Now he said, walk with me, work with me, watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. You can read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John every day, night and day. I don't care how long you read it. You ain't never going to see Jesus get in a hurry. You're never going to see him get all rattled. You're never going to see him call a staff meeting and try to figure out how we're going to get money enough to make it to our next meeting. It isn't in there. What do you see? An unforced life. Amen. I only say what I hear my Father say. I only do what he shows me to do. Hallelujah. And he said, if you come work with me, I'll show you how to do that. Show you how to have that kind of relationship with him. Unforced rhythms of grace. You know what? That's a very beautiful way to say, God isn't holding anything against you. Amen. Now quit crying about it and come on and let's go. Amen. Unforced rhythms of grace. Amen. Never, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? Oh, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? No. Just shut up. And relax. I can just hear Jesus smiling now because I've had him do me like this a lot. Just hush. I'll take care of it. Okay. But not just shut up. Yeah, no, hush. Relax. Amen. Hallelujah. Say it. the unforced rhythms of grace. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, is that the way you see yourself, particularly in your finances? Because that's what Satan is using all over the world now. All over the world. Governments all over the world are failing all at the same time financially. Monumental time. And there needs to be a people right in the middle of all this. Amen. Because you see, as all of that business tumbles and falls, and the more people lose and the more people, their things get taken away from them, stolen, destroyed, burned, and every other kind of disastrous things that you can think about, there needs to be somebody in the midst of all of that blessed. Amen. Amen. And that's you and me. Amen. Check these things and learn this. When you close your eyes, I noticed this years ago. The Lord was helping me. I had come from, of course, most of you have heard my testimony one time or another. And while I was a student at Oral Roberts University and became then, Brother Roberts took me into the flight crew, and I was part of the flight crew of the ministry aircraft. And so it dawned on me real quick that he couldn't get out of town without me. And that's a thrill in itself. Amen. But then the thrill of thrills. On the second meeting, we were thank you, Jesus. Yes, sir, I will. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. They had two different situations in those meetings to pray for people that needed healing and so forth. One, of course, was out in the where the main auditorium and so forth. But then there was what they referred to as the invalid room. It was the place where people who could not manage that crowd, they were ambulatory, and some of them just really right at death's door, or for whatever reason, that just wasn't going to work for them to have to manage that crowd of people in the lines and all of that. So there were anywhere from 50 to upwards of 200 people. And each night, they'd be in a separate room. And Brother Roberts would preach the message. He'd give the invitation. People would answer the invitation. And then as the people were being prayed and led in prayer concerning the new birth and so forth, well, then he would leave there while they prepared the place for healing ministry. He would go back then into that separated place where these other people were, and he would lay hands on everybody in there, and just unreasonable miracles took place in there. Well, on the second meeting that I was privileged to be a part of, I was assigned that room, and I was to be in there while Brother Roberts preached the evening message, and then there was, you know, anywhere from 5 to 7 or 8 minutes was the longest time. It was about that long. Between the time that he finished the message out front, and he would get back to that other room. And my assignment was, during that 5 or so minutes, I was to go back over the main points that he just preached and prepare people to have hands laid on them and for that ministry. Now, that was my job. So I was in the room there listening like everybody else over the sound system. And so, man, I'm outlining every word that he preached. And then as he would close his message out there, then I would go back over those main points. Well, on the very first service, he came in there that night and he looked, he just surveyed the room. Of course, I backed out of the way when he came in. And he turned around, he caught me by the shoulder of my coat and he pulled me over there to him and he said, "Now you're going to do the praying and you're going to do the laying on of hands." You got to be kidding me. I'd never prayed for anybody. Had very much wrong with them. You know, my goodness. I'd never seen anything like this to begin with. And you know, he could tell by looking at, you know, sure he could. My complexion changed about 5 shades while he stood. I mean, I could all the blood run plumb out of my face. And he smiled. He said, don't worry about it. He said, "If you make a mistake, I'll correct it. I'll be standing right there next to you. But you're going to do it." I said, "Okay, here we go." Well, the very first one that we laid hands on was a woman that had a stomach tumor. And she didn't weigh over about 75 pounds. And she was just as close to death as you could possibly be and still be in a situation like that, or just even be outside. And they had a little military cot laid out there, and her nurse was there and had her on. Well, when all I said was, "In the name of Jesus," that's as far as I got. I was going to say Jesus, and that's as far as I got. He was standing right behind me, and oh my, in a booming roar, "You foul, unclean spirit, trying to take the life of my sister, take your hands off of God's property. In the name of Jesus, whose I am and whom I serve." The thing that just kept running through my mind, the lion of the tribe of Judah has just roared. I'm just standing there. I got my hand and just suspended out here like this. I had just barely touched her forehead when he did that. Suddenly, she threw that tumor up and just blew it out on the ground. About big as my fist. Had tentacles around the thing. Man. Jumped up off that cot and went running around the room shouting, "I'm healed, bless God, I'm healed forever." With the nurse chasing her, afraid she's going to fall dead. Now, that was my introduction to this ministry. Well, now, I said that because I wanted you to get a sense for this, because I saw things in there over a period of time that they're not easy to describe. Just outstanding thing. Well, over a period of time, he would refer to some of these things and then talk to me about them. And then later, we became over that period of time from 1967 up until the time he went home to be with the Lord. He and I and Gloria and our families became very, very close. Well, I said all that to say this. In order for you to get over on the same page with me right now, so that we're all thinking in the same direction, because I want you to hear this. Listen to me. Listen to me. I learned from him that people that have spent a long period of time in one condition come to the place where they see themselves that way. If you've been in poverty, you see yourself in poverty. Now, if you don't change that, you will never receive anything else. And the only way you can change it, we're going to learn about this this week. The only way you can change that is to get into the Word of God and have the power of the Word renew your concept, your ideas, and give you insight into how God sees you. And when your image of you matches His image of you, His image of you will, and your image that matches His will give birth to that and change all of your circumstances. And one of the things that he would say to someone that was in a wheelchair or in some way incapacitated like that, he'd say, "Now, you're going to have to start seeing yourself up and running. You're going to have to start seeing yourself out doing the things that you know you want to do and need to be doing. You need to see yourself back in action again as a mother of your children and the wife of your husband. You need to see yourself back in business again, Mr. Businessman. You need to see yourself successful. You need to see yourself right up on top, praise God." That's the way God sees you. And He has seen you that way since before the foundation of the world. Because that's where He planned for you to be. Yes. Now, what we just read. When you just close your eyes and look at yourself and your financial situation, do you see yourself in the unforced rhythms of grace? Amen. Oh, my. I remember so well what it was like to be under financial pressure 24 hours a day, day in, day out, year after year after year after year after year. Amen. How wonderful it would have been if somebody showed me that back there 50 years ago. But I found it out. I know it now. Amen. And I will never be broke another day in my life hereafter forever. Well, I just don't see how you can say that. Well, that's your problem. But you're going to find out. Amen. You stay with me now between now and Saturday night. You're going to find out. And tonight, the direction of the Lord is you inquire of the Lord right now, because tonight you are going to sow seed before God, releasing your faith to change from the forced, ugly, terrible, old dumb me to the unforced rhythms of grace. Oh, hallelujah. I said, oh, hallelujah. Glory, 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 glory. Oh, me. And think about it. Wake up in the morning smiling. How long has it been? Amen. I remember. Gloria and I were talking about it just this week. I remember, this ministry was about 2 years old, three maybe, I don't know. And I was just driving down the street. We were at home between meetings, and I was headed back to the house. And I'm just driving along there praising God. I tell you, God got us out of debt in 11 months from the time we believed him for it. And I was, man, glory to God. I mean, it is so thrilling. It is so wonderful. I hadn't heard somebody talk ugly to me over the telephone in a long time. Oh, it was wonderful. And I was just driving along there, and it hit me. Kind of startled me. And I said out loud, glory to God. Do you know I could just go write a check for $300 and nobody would care? Nobody would care. And I got $300. Can you imagine? $300. And it was mine. And I got happy. And I got to praising God in that car. And I kept shouting out loud, yeah. And then more where that came from. Glory to God. I am the seed of Abraham. And Jesus has delivered me from the curse of poverty. Glory to God. Oh, man. Hallelujah. That's the way Jesus intended for us to live. To come out of that curse and come to him. And he said, I'll give you rest. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me. I'll tell you how to do it. I'll go over it with you line by line. How to have the same kind of life with God that I have. Religious people not only don't know that, they don't believe it. Oh, that is Jesus. Why? God doesn't think about me. Well, Jesus said God loves you as much as he does him. But most Christian people don't believe that. But there's some of us that do. Amen. Amen. Oh, yeah, I mean it. And like I'm saying, before this week, this is going to be a special time. I'm telling you, between now and Saturday night, they're going to have a hard time holding you down Saturday night. I mean it. And there's going to be churches Sunday morning. Praise God. Some of you are going to start a revival or a riot. One of the two. Sunday. When you get back home. Amen. And your pastor's going to be glad. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you. We receive this offering tonight with this, this image of ourselves and our thinking of coming to you, Lord Jesus, and just bringing all of our finances, all the whole thing, all of our life, and just dump it at your feet and put our eyes on you and let you teach us and show us how to walk in your grace. How to just flow and rejoice and praise and, oh, glory be to God. And hear you say, I will take care of it. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen.